And I want to talk to you tonight about some just basic qualifications for leadership. We find it here as we see God calling apostles. We had to have an apostle take Judas' place, and that's here in this passage, Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, "The number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry," talking about Judas. "And now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Elseldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.' Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place.' And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." And so we see here in the apostleship, God puts it all together. God put the apostles together the first time, and that's always certainly up to him. But we also recognize that there are some basic qualifications that they had to have, basic qualifications for leadership. And I find them here with these, especially these two men, this one called Joseph, who is surnamed Justus, and then Matthias. And so I want to show you just some thoughts here about that, and I praise the Lord. You know, leadership is, if you're a parent, you're a leader. Amen. These would be things you ought to have in your life. If you're a older student to younger students, you're a leader. Oh, you say, "I don't want that. I don't like that response." But well, people watch you, and you are a leader. And obviously, leaders and teachers and leaders at work and all that. I think there are some things that are just very important that we can see with these two men that I think would be a challenge to each of us here. Father, please bless the preaching and speak to our hearts. Give us what we need tonight. We all ought to be leaders. We all ought to want to be a good example for you. And we ought to have people follow us. And whether it's a child here that has younger children looking up to them, or whether it's an adult, a grandparent, a mom, a dad, a teacher, a bus captain, whatever we may do, Lord, may we have these qualifications. May we have these qualities in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We know, of course, there are many disciples. In Luke 1, the Bible talks about 70 other disciples besides the 12, and two by two go soul winning and all of that. And the Bible talks about all those different things in Luke. And a disciple, of course, is a learner. And so don't misunderstand the word disciple, and don't think, I can't be a, we should all be disciples. Once you get saved, you ought to be a disciple. You're a disciple is somebody that says, "I want to learn something. I am learning something." And obviously, we need to learn about Jesus. We need to learn from Jesus. Once you get saved, you need to grow in the Lord. And that growing never stops till we get to heaven. You should just keep growing. I don't care if you're 80 years old tonight. You should still be growing and learning and wanting to learn more and more. Nobody here has arrived. We all have a lot to learn. And so we learn about Jesus. We do as he does. You know, that cute little thing on T-shirts and bracelets and everything years ago. What would Jesus do? The amazing thing is many of the folks had no clue. You know, they would ask that question, "What would Jesus do?" And as if to say, I will do what he would do, but they don't know. because they never really learned about Jesus. I led one person to the Lord that had a shirt that said WWJD, and I led them to the Lord. They had no idea how to be saved, and I showed them how to be saved. They got saved. I had another fella, he had WWJD on a bracelet or something like that, and I talked to him, and I showed him. He had no idea how to go to heaven. He had no idea how to be saved. And I showed him, he said, I don't want to do that. I'm not, what would you... You know, we ought to want to know about Jesus and everything we possibly can. Everything we can know about Jesus. And so a disciple is a learner. But understand, a disciple is different than an apostle. Now, an apostle had to be a disciple. But an apostle was kind of a leader of disciples, if you will. An apostle, they had to be a disciple, but they also had to be several qualifications. They had to be the baptism of John until the death of Jesus. They had to be a witness of the resurrection. And then to be an apostle, they would have to obviously be chosen of God. And so verse 15 here, now it talks about this. It says, verse 15, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and then in parentheses, it says, the number of names together were about 120. So 120 are disciples. 11 of them are apostles. Remember, there were 12, but Judas killed himself because of sin. By the way, sin always, always, always brings forth death. We get burned every time we sin. Now, we're sinners, and we need to recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thank God Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to get the punishment we deserve, because Jesus died on the cross for us. But unfortunately, once we get saved, we continue to be tempted with this thing called sin. And many times we give in to it. Well, Judas, as far as we know, never did get saved, though he was following the Lord and everything. As far as we know, he never, never, never did get saved. But once he's gone, now there are only 11 apostles. And so there's 120 disciples. 11 of them are apostles. And in verse 13, we have a list of them, and we'll not go through all of that, but it just gives us a list of all these. Of course, Judas being the one out of the 12 that was a traitor and traitor to Jesus Christ, and he committed suicide. And I do want to remind you, the scripture says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Judas probably figured he had it all figured out, and he received those 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. And you know, now I've got money. Boy, I can do just about anything. And the next thing we know, he's killing himself. And it is such a sad, sad thing. I know Judas, I'm sure as a young teenager, Judas never planned that his life would end early by him killing himself. I doubt that. And be so careful, folks, with the devil's lies. He is a liar, and he will try to get you to do things that are just going to be lead to death. I'm sure Judas admired Jesus. I'm sure he thought Jesus was a great leader. You may be here today and you think Jesus is a great leader. You think he's a good teacher. You think he was a good example, but you have never trusted him as your Savior. I beg you today, call upon Jesus to be your Savior. Call upon Jesus to save your soul and forgive you of your sins. And because he is a great leader, he is a great example, he is a great teacher, he is all those things, but he's a Savior. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way to be saved, that is trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Judas, of course, he admired Jesus, but he loved money. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money's the root. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And, of course, Judas obviously became bitter and offended and fell and all of that. And now it is time to choose another leader, another apostle. And the thing about this passage, and I've talked about this passage before, it's such a blessing to me, and it helps so much in understanding what God is looking for, really for all of us. You say, but I don't have any desire to be a teacher. I don't care about being a leader of a maybe a bus captain or or anything like that. But as God's people, we ought to be leaders of people. If you want to lead somebody to Christ, shouldn't you be a good leader? Amen. I mean, that just makes sense. We use that terminology all the time. I want to lead people to Christ. Well, you have to be a good leader to lead people to Christ. And so we have an example here of God showing us choosing leaders. And I love it. It is such a beautiful thing. So Judas has fallen. It's time to choose another apostle. And that apostle, he would have to qualify. You know, we live in a day, we think, well, everybody ought to just be able to do everything. Come on, you don't believe that. You don't believe that. You know, you and I, if we found out a policeman, they didn't do a background check on him, we'd have a problem with that, wouldn't we? We'd have a problem if we found out that the person taking our money at the bank had been had committed several felonies where they stole money. We'd have a problem with that, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we have a problem if we found out that the nurse, there's one of our nurses there and nursing people. You know, we found out that the nurse had tried to kill somebody before, and now they're sticking something in my arm. I mean, I want them to have qualifications, amen. I want them to be able to, hey, you know what? There's a reason why you are in this position. Well, obviously, that is what this process is all about here. There was something that had to be true about these men. Something that had to be true. They had to qualify out of 109 possibilities. Now again, where do you get 109? Well, 109 plus 11 equals 120. So we're taking 120 minus the 11 apostles, and we have 109, and we're going to pick one out of 109. All right? And they must meet those requirements. Of course, they have to be saved. They have to be baptized naturally. The Bible says they accompanied with us all the time. Verse 21, you ought to underline that there. They accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. So they were there. These are just basic requirements for these apostles, all right? They had to be there till Jesus died. Huh. All right, so they qualify there. And they had to be a witness of the resurrection. All right. Those are things they had to do. So all 109 that were possibilities, one of them would be an apostle. Verse 23 says this. It says, and they appointed two. So they came down to just two that were possible to be an apostle. They appointed two. Two out of 109. And by the way, the 109 they're all good. They're good men. There's nothing wrong with them. But for whatever reason, you know, maybe Cecil, he couldn't go because he missed the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Maybe he's a good guy, but he just missed out on that one time, that one incident, the healing of blind Bartimaeus. So, no, I'm sorry, Cecil, you cannot be an apostle. Cletus, well, he missed out on the salvation of the maniac of Gadara. By the way, that'd be a tough thing. That's too bad you missed out on that, right? I mean, that'd sure be a lot of fun to see that. That's an exciting story about the salvation of the maniac of Gadara, a fellow that was demon-possessed, and they couldn't hold him with chains, and he broke those, and wow. But Cletus, he missed out on that. I don't know. Maybe he was busy doing something else. I don't know what he was doing. It's kind of sad that he missed out on that. And so he couldn't qualify. How about Clarence? No, Clarence, maybe he missed the feeding of the 5,000. I mean, they all missed out on something for whatever reason. Poindexter, maybe he missed the Sermon on the Mount, and so he can't. And so one by one, they go through, and maybe they filled out a questionnaire. Amen. Don't you think that's a good idea for people to fill out a questionnaire to see if they're qualified for something? I think it's a great idea. And so one by one, they had to be qualified, and one by one, they were not qualified, and two out of 109 were qualified. Now, the others are good. The 107 are good people. They're great people, but we're going to choose two out of that group that could be an apostle. And so either Joseph or surnamed Justice or Matthias, one of them is going to be an apostle. And I love that. I really love that. You know, God does that. You say, I want to lead somebody to the Lord. Well, do you know that there's a whole bunch of people that could lead that somebody to the Lord, but God put you in their path? Are you up for it? Are you up for it? Well, I want to teach that Sunday school class, and there's all these other people that could teach that class, but are you up for it? Would God choose you? I want to run. I want to be that bus captain. Amen. But are you up for it? Can you do it? Will you make it? Will God choose you? I'm just saying, you know, God does choose, and he does here. He actually is very involved in all of this, as he was with all the apostles. He's very involved with all of this. And so Justice or Joseph and Matthias, one of them is going to be an apostle. And verse 24 says they prayed. They prayed. Amen. They're asking God. They prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. That's wonderful. Lord, show which of these two. They didn't go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch an apostle by the toe. They didn't do that. All right? Now, they could have done that. They could have done rock, paper, scissors. Amen? Amen. You know, let's all do it. Ready? Go. I won. Actually, everybody loses. Or everybody wins. You can look at it however you want to look at it on that. They didn't flip a coin. But they kind of did, because the Bible says they gave forth their lots. Now, we'll get to that later on. I'm getting way ahead of myself. But they prayed and the Lord chose. But get this now. They're both qualified. This is one of the great truths about serving God. Both of them are qualified. They and in fact, the others, the 107, are all disciples. They have all said, I want to learn what God has for me. I want to learn about Jesus. I want to walk with God. I want to pray and read my Bible and go to church. And I want to grow in the Lord. And they're all good people. But they for whatever reason, they were not part of the two. But those two, either of them were qualified. And God chose, the Bible says. Not because one was better. God chose because it was his will. You know, so many times as we serve the Lord, we see God choosing somebody to lead, somebody to be the one that gets to lead the soul to Christ, to be the one that does this or the one that does that. And we watch God doing that in so many ways. And the thing that I want you to get out of this is, it's not because somebody's better than somebody else. We're all sinners. We all deserve punishment in hell. We all are not getting what we deserve if we're saved, because the grace of God, instead, he's given us all kinds of wonderful things and the privilege it is to be able to serve him is an amazing thing. But his will, who will be the apostle? Go with me. Keep your place here. But real quick, I preached on this many years ago. Proverbs 16, verse 33. Now, this is all introduction. I'll get into the message in a minute. Proverbs 16, verse 33. Remember, I preached about the lot? How many of you remember the message about the lot? The title of the message was, There's No Such Thing as Luck. Remember that now? Okay, you remember that. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. That's what they did here. They gave forth their lots. My Bible says the Lord's in the lot. And so if a lot, and a lot was like a little pebble, a little rock or something, and maybe have a notch on it here, or maybe two notches on the other side, and literally they would cast that lot, and however it turned up was what determined what was going to happen. My Bible says God turns it. God made it go the way that it was supposed to go. And so there is no such thing. Oh, you know, boy, you were lucky. Phooey on that. There isn't any such thing. And by the way, in the case of the 107 here that didn't get chosen, you know what? That doesn't mean they were unlucky. It just means that they, for whatever reason, didn't qualify. And in the case of the other one who was not chosen, it has nothing to do with luck. It has everything to do with, well, God just had a purpose for the other one. This is, I love this. The Bible says, that the Lord, he knew their hearts. He knew their hearts. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means about these two, because as far as we can tell, they both had, their hearts were right. But he knows, you know, the Bible talks about God giving us the desires of our hearts. Sometimes we read about God knowing their hearts and we think, oh, well, obviously one of these had a, you know, their heart wasn't right. That's not true. These were some of the best of the best. These are people, these are folks that you know, they're faithful. They're serving God. They're loving the Lord. They're doing great things. You have to understand that it doesn't mean that Justice, the one who was not chosen, it doesn't mean that his heart wasn't right. Right? The Lord which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. It means that maybe another one's heart was towards something else that they could have done even better yet. I'm just saying, what's God put in your heart to do? If God gives us the desires of our hearts, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? If you are qualified, you could do anything. You could do something for God. And why wouldn't God have you do whatever that thing is? I believe he would. I believe that he would, if that's in your heart. There's something about these two. If we are going to do something for God, I believe with all my heart, and I would encourage and I would ask you to pray for our staff, our leaders, our Sunday school teachers, our junior church leaders, our bus captains, our bus driver, you know, just the leaders in the church, the nursery, the you know, all of the organizing of that and everything. I would encourage you because we need to be what these two were. Because what jumps out at me is I see three things that just really stand out to me that I believe God is looking for in leadership. And I believe God is looking for it before he's gonna put us in places where we can do just amazing things for God. Now, none of these things are hard things. Nothing starts off with getting your college degree. It doesn't start there. That's not a bad thing to do, but that's not even in the equation here. It's just good old-fashioned character. Amen. And it's what I see with these two especially. All those disciples are people saying, you know what, we want to serve God. Week after week after week, this auditorium has people in it who are disciples saying, I just want to grow. Amen. I just want to learn about Jesus. I want to learn what God has for me. I want to learn the things of God that are going to change my life and have an impact on my life. And I just want to grow. And praise the Lord for that. That's the disciples. Now, you know, you may be, I don't really care about it. I don't know what, why would you be here on a Sunday night if you don't care? But how will God use you? Let me just give you these three things and we'll be done. The first thing just stands out to me so much, it's humility. Humility. It seems like, because when we want to rise in the world, you know, we have to promote ourselves, but God's work is just the opposite. God's work is X-ing myself out so the Lord can raise me up. Humility, it's totally opposite. It's backward from the way the world looks at things. It's backwards from how we have grown up. It's backwards from the way we've listened, we've heard, and the worldly philosophy. James 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You say, well, if I don't promote me, who will? Well, who will? He will. We are so worried about, well, but I want to do this, and I want to do, and God is looking for somebody who will bow. God is looking for somebody who is going to be humble. Now watch this. Verse 21, go back to it. And now we get into the message. All that was introduction. But we're on the first point, and that is humility. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So which of these men, here's what it's saying, which of these men have been with us all that time? Well, we know Peter was, and we know Thomas was, and Philip, and Matthew, and Bartholomew, and James, and Simon, and Judas, and all that. We know they were all there. But guess who else was there? Yeah. Justus and Matthias. Yeah, they were there. How do you know? Because they were chosen. They qualified. Wait a minute. They were there all those times. Yeah. Yeah, they were there when Peter called out to Matthew. They were there when John was called. Maybe when John was called, maybe they were waiting to hear their name. Boy, I sure would like to go. I'd sure like to be an apostle. I'd sure like to go. Maybe they were waiting to hear their own name. Judas, follow me. Wait a minute. What about? But they were there. I don't know where they were. They were there. And all the names are called. Bartholomew? No, it's not me. Boy, they'd like to have been called, but they weren't called. When the 12 were chosen, 2 were not. But they were there. They were there all the time. Every time. That amazes me. But you see, they weren't worried about themselves. You said, well, if I'm not picked, bless God, I'll go somewhere else. How dare? And what'd they do? They just kept going. Amen. Nobody called their name. Nobody pointed them out. What about the 12? Neither of them were there, or they weren't called, but they were always there. That's what the Bible says. It says, they companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. They were just kind of in the background. Are you listening? Humility. As far as we know, they weren't worried about themselves. Well, they were really trying to learn about Jesus. You know, you have to remember, great crowds were coming. People were coming from everywhere. Jesus is healing people. Great things are happening. He's casting out demons. Unbelievable miracles are taking place. And boy, you know, this is my chance to rise up, right? And no. They just were watching Jesus and saying, I just need to learn more about him. And he was meek, the Bible says. Jesus certainly wasn't promoting himself. And these two, they, as far as we know, they didn't gripe, they didn't complain. Look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. As far as we can tell, they just were always around where the 12 were. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That is so much what I see with these two men. Well, they don't appreciate me. I'll just go. They didn't say that. It's possible they served longer than some others. But no excuses, no complaints, you know, just humbly serving God. And they kept serving. Even when the 12 were chosen, these two kept serving, just kind of in the background. The other 107, they're sharp people. They love God. But I just think of these two just were always there, though they were not recognized. They were always there. Wow. Well, I want to have my name on there somewhere. That's not the way they talked. I always put on when we have officer elections in the church. I don't know if I still, I've done this before. I know anytime we have papers and stuff like that, if it says something like, I will still serve God happily if I'm not elected. I believe that's on the deacon requirement thing for somebody who says they will go ahead and be nominated as a deacon. And I will serve God happily even if I'm not elected or something like that. And I often think, you know, what kind of a person would say, not me, I won't. We actually have a Republican candidate that did something like that, who was asked, now if you're not nominated to the Republican by the Republican Party, will you go ahead and run as an independent? And one raised his hand, kind of, you don't elect me, I'm gonna do my own thing. You know, it's just I really question leadership like that. Yeah, yeah. These two just kept serving. They were content to serve with humility. Do you know God knows you? God knows where you are. Amen. Good. He knows where we are. And humility, when you are willing to bow your head and say, you know what? I'm not much, but I can do everything I can do for God. Humility, to me, that's number one. We haven't interviewed anybody in quite a while, but I remember interviewing so many times, and one of the first thing I've always been looking for is that thing called humility. Somebody says, well, you know, I think I deserve this if I come there, and I need to be paid this, and I need this position, and I ought to have this title. Or what are you even doing talking about serving God? Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. And we deserve what? Our first church, we started our first church, we didn't even have any place to live. You know, I had to remodel the place just so we could make it livable for us to live in it. And it was wonderful to just serve God. But we learned all that at Bible college where, you know what, if you're going to do what God has called you to do, then you're willing to pay whatever price you got to pay. And you don't dare think you're a big shot. Humility. I'm going to tell you, you know, well, I just want to do something. Bow your head to the Lord and say, you know what, God, if you let me do that thing that's on my heart, or if you don't, I'm just going to serve you. And if I can clean toilets for you, I'll clean toilets. Amen. If I can sweep the floor for you, I'll sweep the floor for you. I often think back, and I remember when I was just a freshman at college, and I've heard the story of Dr. Mullinex, how he came to Pensacola to be a librarian. And Autumn, she's heard that story. Other of our folks that went to Pensacola, they heard the story. He came to be the librarian. I don't even remember his title now. He's the pastor of the radio and TV show, the Rejoice program, and you know, vice president of the second president of the co-president of the whatever. I don't know, but I've just watched him. And he always was just a humble, a librarian. But that's because he was willing to be a librarian. And then God raises him up. Folks, why don't you let God do with you whatever he will? Just bow your head. Humility, number one, that is so important. How about this? Faithfulness. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find faithfulness? Bible compares faithfulness to unfaithfulness to somebody who sprained their ankle. You can't count on it. Compares unfaithfulness to a broken tooth in Proverbs. You know, where you go to bite the apple and you stop and say, maybe I shouldn't. I know this tooth is going to break off, you know. But that faithful person, you can count on them Every time. My Bible says, verse 21, these men which have accompanied with us all the time. Faithful. All the time. Always near. All the time. They weren't in the boat with Jesus when the storm broke out. Guess where they were? They were in the other boat. Remember the other boat? They were out there. Well, they couldn't be with the 12, but they were still right there. We got to follow. We got to stay. I wonder which was tougher, to be in the boat with Jesus or to be in that other boat saying, wow, boy, I wish I could be with Jesus in that boat. But they just kept going. They weren't at the transfiguration, but they were there. They were near. They weren't with Peter, James, and John. Of course, a lot of them weren't. But they weren't with Peter, James, and John when Peter's mother-in-law was healed. But they were near. I'm sure that they saw her sick. And I'm sure they saw her later on running around healed. They were near. Close by. They weren't at the Last Supper. But in my mind, I think they might have been right outside the door. Amen. Yeah, you know, in the famous picture of the Last Supper, you don't see either of them. But boy, if I could paint a picture, I'd like to paint, maybe show the wall and show them listening. Because they were close. My Bible says they were. Wow. Just waiting to do whatever they could do. God's looking for somebody who'll just always be there waiting to do whatever they could do. Just what can I do? How can I help? What is it that is needed? They weren't with Jesus in the garden, but I'm sure they were very, very close. You know, they could have quit, but they stayed faithful. I'm going to tell you, and we heard this when we were in college, it's not your ability, it's your availability. God, there's pretty boys all the time. There's people out there that have great abilities and everything, but God's looking for your availability. Who's going to be the one that just says, I'm going to be there no matter what? Don't care if I have a title. Don't care if I have the name. Don't care if I get recognition. I just want to please God. I often wonder, and I think we're going to be amazed at those who aren't deacons, who aren't Sunday school teachers, who weren't those things, and yet when we get to heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, they're going to receive the greatest rewards. It's just faithfulness. That's all. Faithfulness. Special honor in heaven. You know, we need to keep working anyway. Why? Because there's always work to do. These guys got no recognition. We're not of, you guys aren't of the 12. You can't come in. Then we'll stay close. We'll listen in. We'll do everything we can. Praise the Lord. We need people we can count on. People that if you don't get your own way, you just keep going anyway. Whether you get your way or not. Only time, as far as I know, their names are mentioned in the Bibles right here. And yet, they just stayed faithful. Isn't that something? Humility, faithfulness, and then the last thing is a servant's attitude. A servant's attitude. You know, a servant has no rights. This is our problem, honestly. This is a problem with getting people to serve God. This is the biggest problem that we have is we have generations now of people who have grown up hearing, what about my rights? My rights! What about my rights? Well, a servant has no rights. Right? A servant has no rights. A person who takes up his cross daily. I am crucified with Christ. I have no rights. I'm hanging on a cross. Now, we don't really do that, but the point is, I'm saying, I relinquish my rights to you. I'm a servant. I have no rights. One of the hardest things in the world. And again, we always think it's the teenagers that are supposed to, hey, you know, you young people, you're supposed to surrender your lives to God. And it's almost as if we're saying, well, that's because they don't have a life yet. And they will. Hey, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, everybody, we are supposed to surrender our lives to God. Amen. We have no right. He is the King of Kings. We preach it. We sing it. We shout about it. But is he really? Or do we find ourselves talking about our rights? What about me? What about what I want? What about the things that matter to me? A servant has no rights. And they know that. Peter left his old job to serve the Lord. James, same thing. Matthew, he's a tax collector. Left his own. You know, as far as we know, there was never a time, Brother Carpenter, I've never found it where any of them said, how much will I make? How much will I make? You know, I don't know if it's a new thing in Bible colleges. I have no idea. I know that when I went to Bible college, I know in preacher boys class, I remember the pastor, Pastor Bob Taylor, telling us, fellas, don't ever make money an issue. Ever. It has nothing to do with what you're doing. Forget it. Somebody says, well, how much am I going to make? You know what? I want to know, first of all, are you called? Are you supposed to? Is this God's will for you? Well, I need to know how much. God's will is not determined by how much you're going to make. God's will is not determined by how comfortable it's going to be. God's will is not determined. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. Well, how big of a class am I going to get? Well, how big a one do you need? Can you fill the one that you might get? Well, how big a bus will I have? Well, how about starting with your back seat of your car? Could you fill it? No rights. It's a privilege to serve God. We've gotten away from that. We've gotten away from Exodus 21, where the servant, the slave, said, now I am to be set free, but I want you to bore a hole into my ear so that I can be your servant for life. We've forgotten about that. I preached on that years ago when I started our church in Indiana, and I said what the Bible says about pierced ears, and the ladies were trembling. What's he going to say? Is it wrong too? And I preached about the servant who said, to prove that I am your slave forever, you can bore a hole into my ear. And they said, I choose you. I choose to be your servant for life. I don't think there's any reward for fizz Christians. You know, like Alka-Seltzer. You just kind of fizz out. Wow, boy, that was great. Yeah, for 5 minutes. I think there's rewards for servants who just keep going. Amen. No pat on the back, no glory. Amen. Nothing ever said. They just keep going. Not big shots. Not, just keep going, right? I think about, and really, you could go back, you could look at the church, old minutes of the church, and I've gone back, looked at old pictures from years and years and years ago, and all the different names, and some of those names, you know, you kind of wonder what happened to them, and you know that some of them, like so many I've seen, they didn't get their own way, and they just quit. But not these two. These two said, you know what? We didn't get to see everything everybody else did. We didn't get the recognition everybody else did. But you know what? We're here to serve. Or as Brother Chase always says, I'm just here to serve this ship. Amen. Yeah. Well, I don't like that. They had a lot of things they maybe wouldn't have liked, but they didn't care because they had no rights. They're servants. We need servants, honestly. And these two simply said, we'll just serve no matter what. You know, folks, that's what we need. We just need folks that'll just serve no matter what. And let God take care of all the rest. I think of so many, you know, that over the years they had to be the big shot. They had to, and now they're doing absolutely nothing. God is interested in some folks that have humility. And just, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. By the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. And if there's anything that happens with this life, it's because God did it. It's not anything I've done. And faithful, just always there. I love that. He's got, in my mind, I try to imagine what they went through. Read verse 21, and I've read it over and over and over. They accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among it. All that time. Beginning from the baptism of John, all those miracles, all those things that happened. You know, Bible talks about Peter did this, James did this, John did this, all those different things. Well, what did you hear the name Matthias? Not one time. None of those times. Wow, the demoniac of Gadara, he's been healed. Isn't that wonderful? What do you think about that? And over here is Matthias in the corner somewhere, just praising God. Rejoicing about the miracle of a man getting saved. What'd he do? Nothing. As far as we know, he did nothing. Oh, the feeding of 5,000. Wow, they're passing out those baskets. 12 of them had baskets. What was Matthias doing? He was eating fish and going. Wow, look what God's doing. Well, you say, well, if I didn't get to hold the basket, I'd quit. I know. Why couldn't you be excited eating the bread and the fish and just waiting? Because one of these days, God was going to choose Matthias to hold the basket. Let's bow our heads, please. By the way, Matthias was chosen. Joseph was not chosen, or Justice was not chosen. But I think Justice kept going. And he said, you know what? If I'm not an apostle, I'll be the best disciple that I can be. Humility, faithfulness, a servant spirit.